This chazor is echinish b'achichas v'shag v'hem yishem b'sechem b'zachos daf ayin aleph. Zok the mishta, we may harvest the grains growing in irrigated fields in the valley because they're of inferior quality and therefore can't be used for the omer, and are therefore not included in the prohibition of harvesting before the omer. But the grain may not be piled before the omer is brought. The people of Yerichai would harvest such grain before the omer with the agreement of the chachamim, and they would even pile the grain, but that was done against the will of the chachamim. However, the chachamim did not protest to their doing so. Mishnah continues, we may harvest shachas, unripe grain, for the purpose of using it as animal feed before the cutting of the omer. Yehuda says this may only be done if the grain is harvested before it reaches 1/3 of its eventual growth. Or Shimon says this may be done even after it has reached 1/3 of its eventual growth. Mishnah continues, we may harvest the grains that must be cut for the sake of trees, meaning they grow near the trees and will ruin the trees or will create client problems. We're allowed to do that before the omer. We also harvest grains to clear a space needed for an oval, Rachman Litzan. We also could harvest grain to make place for people to learn Torah. The stalks may not be made into bundles, rather they're left untied. Mishnah continues, the mitzvah is for the omer to be brought from standing grains. If there's none to be found, everything's been harvested already, let's say, it can be brought even from grain that was already cut. The mitzvah is for the omer to be brought from moist, fresh kernels. If there are no such kernels, you can even bring from dried kernels. The mitzvah is for the omer to be cut at night, meaning the night going into the 16th of Nisan. If it was cut by day on the 16th, it's also kosher. Finally, the Omer even overrides Shabbos. Zok the Gemara Brayis says, Rabbi Yamin says, one pasuk says, "Uktratim es ktsir v'aveisem es Omer," which suggests that the harvesting may be done before the Omer. Another pasuk says, "Reishis ktsir chemel hakoyin," which suggests that the first harvest must be for the Omer. This teaches that in a place from which the Omer may be brought, nothing may be harvested before the Omer. In a place from which the Omer may not be brought, the grains may be harvested before the Omer. Maybe we should instead say that from a species from which the Omer may be brought, the Omer must be the first harvest. But from a species from which the Omer may not be brought, one may harvest the grains before the omer, and the more that can't be correct because we have learned the Gzeir Shavah of Rabbi Yochanan, which taught that all five grains are included in the Isser of Chodosh. The Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda, who we find elsewhere discusses that there were instances where the Chacham protested things done by the people of Yerichai and instances where they did not. In fact, Mara Brisa says, or Meir says, the people of Yerichai had six practices, three that the Chacham approved of, three that they didn't approve of. The Chacham approved of their practice of grafting palm trees the entire 14th of Nisan, the practice of being Kairich the Shema, and the practice of cutting the grain before the Omer was brought. The Chacham did not approve of their practice of piling the grain before the Omer was brought, the practice of making openings in their fences to allow the feeding of the fallen fruit to poor people on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the practice of allowing the branches of Hekdesh for personal use. Rabbi Yehuda said, if the Chacham approved of the first three, why didn't everyone else do these things as well? Rather, the Chacham disapproved of all six, but they only protested to three of them. They did not protest their practice of grafting palm trees the entire 14th Nisan, the practice of being Kairich the Shema, and the practice of cutting and piling the grain before the Omer was brought. They did protest their practice of allowing the branches of Hekdesh for personal use, the practice of making openings and fences to allow the feeding of the fallen fruit to poor people on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the practice of giving pay from vegetables. We see from the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the harvesting was done against the wishes of Chacham, not like our Mishnah where it says that it was done with their agreement. And for tomorrow, if you count the number of items listed by Rabbi Yehuda, in the Braisa was actually seven, not six. We have to remove mentioning of harvesting, and doing so will also revolve our contradiction. Mishnah said, a Mishnah lists a number of things that act as a separation in a field for purposes of peah and would require that peah be left from both sides of the separation. Rav Meir says that a row of harvested shachas act as a separation as well, presumably because he holds that it's not viewed as a true act of harvesting and therefore not viewed as the beginning of the harvesting of this field. The Chum say that this would not act as a separation unless he then plowed this entire area as well, presumably this because they hold that this is viewed as a true act of harvesting and is therefore viewed as the beginning of the harvesting of this field. Rabbi Rachanan Rabbi Yochanan said, Rav Meir of this Mishnah follows the reasoning of Rav Shimon of our Mishnah, who says that the cutting of the shachas, even after it has grown to a third of its potential size, is not considered to be a significant act of cutting. Fekmar Rava repeated this teaching. Rav Acha Bar Huna asked him, the Braisa says that if a row of produce was eaten by locusts or ants or was severed by the wind, all would agree that if he then plowed it, it would be viewed as a separation. But if he did not, it would not be viewed as a separation. Now, presumably, the all agree comes to include Rav Meir. If we say that the Mishnah quoted above is only discussing shachas has not yet reached a third of its growth, we can understand why over there Rav Meir says it's not a significant act and it's not viewed as a true harvest, whereas the Braisa is teaching shachas that has already reached a third of its growth, and that's why Rav Meir views it as a significant act of harvest. However, if even the Mishnah is discussing shachas that has reached a third of its growth, and even there, when a person cut or may hold it's not a significant act of harvest, then in the Braisa where the cutting was not done by human hands, or may would certainly say it's not a significant act of harvest. And for the Gemara, rather, a mayor of the Mishnah follows the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah and holds that it's only a significant act when the Shachas has not yet reached 1/3 of its potential growth. Vekamar of Meir only held that way regarding Shachas that's cut for animal feed, but with regard to Shachas cut for human consumption, he would say that it's always considered to be a significant act of harvest. However, Rabbi Meir seems to say that when it's cut for human consumption, it's not a significant act. Rabbi Meir can't be following the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda. And for the Gemara, rather, Rav Dimi said that Rav Meir follows the view of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who is explained by Shmuel to say in a Mishnah that cutting of Shachas, even for human consumption, is not considered to be a significant act. Shlech Gemara, Rabbi Akiva holds that way even when the harvested grain has grown to more than 1/3 of its size. And for the Gemara, Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva regarding one thing, meaning the cutting for human consumption before the grain reaches 1/3 of its growth, and disagrees with him regarding another thing, meaning cutting for human consumption after the grain has reached 1/3 of its potential growth.